Please stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's IBM iSeries Nation Getting Started with WebSphere conference call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, for opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the conference over to your host, Mr. Kevin Larson. Please go ahead, sir.
Great. Thank you. Greetings, everyone. Welcome again to the Getting Started with WebSphere series of Citizen Chat. My name is Kevin Larson. I am the WebSphere on iSeries Business Development Manager out of Rochester, Minnesota. This is session number 4 in an 8-part series called Getting Started with the IBM Web-Facing Tool. What we're showing you in these lectures here is how to get started with different types of applications that you can use with the no-charge support that's in V5R3 of i5OS, WebSphere Application Server Express. Today, Klaus Weiss from the Toronto Development Lab is going to be talking about the web-facing tool, which will allow you to bring 5250 applications, the user interface for those applications, into a web browser very quickly and easily. I invite you to join us for the next 4 set of sessions in this series that will show you different ways to use WebSphere application server technology and general WebSphere technology on your iSeries to increase the reach of your assets to your customers. But now let's get started with today's session, and I'll turn it over to Klaus. Klaus, go ahead.
Okay, thanks, Kevin. Hi, my name is Klaus Weiss. I'm from the IBM Toronto Lab, and I'm here in the Strategy and Planning group. We are doing application development tools here in Toronto in the lab, so if you use an RPG compiler, COBOL compiler on the iSeries or SCUPDM, that's coming from Toronto, and also the new tools, the WebSphere Development Studio tools, also coming from Toronto here. Okay. On the first slide that we have here, there's the name of the speaker, Alison Betterill. She unfortunately couldn't make it, so I'm just stepping in for her and doing this presentation. I've worked with the web-facing tool quite a bit, and I'll guide you through the tool and what it does and how you would work with it and what it does for you. Okay, going to the second slide here. I'll give you a little bit of background information on where the tool fits into the application development roadmap overall on the iSeries, and give you a background on how you get the tools and where it fits in the product portfolio that we have and that we give to you, and also what would be the cost if you want to use the tool, the web-facing tool. Then we'll go into and we'll go through a detailed step and what you would do to grab an application that you have and a 5250 based, was a 5250 user interface, and now turn this over into a web application that will have a browser user interface without having to change the logic of the application. And this application could be a COBOL, RPG, or CL program, and you will change the DDS source that you have currently to describe the user interface. We'll change that into a Java server pages, and we'll go through the steps, what's involved to do that, and then we'll also go and look at the runtime environment, because now after you've converted your user interface, it's certainly a little bit different how you start the application. We'll go through that. I'll show you a couple of screens then that show how other people that used the web-facing tool have changed the user interface and have changed the applications. And we'll go and have a summary, and afterwards you have a chance to ask me some questions here. Let's go to the next foil. That's the roadmap foil. You might already have seen the iSeries Developers Roadmap, and I'll just want to use this to position the web-facing tool in this roadmap. What we're dealing with here is the roadmap shows you how we think the best you can modernize your applications that are typically today 5250-based user interface applications running in RPG or COBOL, And that RPG or COBOL is ILE based or is even OPM based, so the original programming model there, where you have RPG 3 code in there. So, and the tools that are you use to deal with these programs normally would be also 5250 based tools like PDM, SEU, SDA, and so on. And there are a couple of steps you can take to move your application into a more modern environment, because certainly the 5250 user interface is considered an outdated user interface. And one of the things you need to do to move your applications forward is giving them a new user interface. But you can do other things as well. And doing this all at once would most likely not work for you, because the learning curve is pretty steep there, and the task ahead would require many resources in there. So what you want to do is you want to do this step by step. So the first step that we suggest you use is to use better tools. And what we mean with that is that you might want to look outside of the PDM and SEU environment and might want to have a look at the Remote System Explorer that's part of the WebSphere Development Studio client package as well. Okay. That would give you already an exposure to new tools that are workstation-based and then that run in an Eclipse environment. So here I'm now talking about Eclipse, and let me just position that. Eclipse is a tool framework that's open source, that's originally developed by IBM, and that allows tool builders to plug in their tools into this framework. So the framework gives these tool builders already some basic functionality that they can reuse. They don't have to invent that kind of stuff anymore. A couple of already views in there and how you save stuff and so on. And then tool builders add their own tooling in there where they have the expertise in this framework. So Eclipse is a very popular environment for application development tools, and more tool builder move into this environment and base their tooling on that. So moving to the Remote System Explorer, which is part of the IBM tool set, and to this Eclipse environment, you as a programmer now learn how to work with tools in the Eclipse environment and then can later on move to other tools easier than when you do this switch at once totally without using the RPG COBOL tools in Eclipse first. So it makes this a little bit easier, gives you an easy step into modern tools. You still work with your RPG source, with your DDS source, with your COBOL source, but now instead of using PDM and SCU, you use the tools in the Remote System Explorer, which lists also the source files and the objects on the iSeries. You get an editor that you can use in there that's very similar to SEU. It has some of that functionality, gives you greater capability in the workstation environment. Okay. And this helps you to maintain your 5250 applications as well as any applications that you write for better user interface. And we'll go into the different tools that we provide from IBM on the next slide. So the next tower in here on this roadmap is giving you some tools to provide your end users with a new, better user interface. So instead of only providing your end users with a 5250 user interface, you can now give them a web user interface as well without changing the logic of your CL or PG or COBOL programs. And you have two choices here. We give you the IBM web-facing tool, and that's the tool I want to talk mainly about here in this presentation. And we also have the HATS tool, and that provides a similar capability, but it does it differently. Okay. As I mentioned before, the web-facing tool will take your DDS source, convert that to Java server pages. Okay. The IBM HATS tool, on the other hand, will sit on the 5250 data stream and will convert the data stream as it sees it coming over the line and will then convert that to a web user interface. So the IBM web-facing tool is a little bit more developer-geared, as the HATS tool is more runtime environment based on the 5250 data stream. Okay. And one of the things that we want to emphasize here, that we see the improvement of the user interface only as a first step to improving your overall application. Eventually, we think you want to go in and re-architect some pieces of your application so it's better geared towards the future and future technologies. And that's what the Force Tower is in here, the better architecture. Because one of the problems you have at the moment to adapt to a new user interface is that you have pretty monolithic RPG CL COBOL programs out there that are not easily to adapt to new technologies. So ideally what you want to do is separate the business logic from your user interface logic, and maybe also your database access environment from the business logic. Okay, and that's what we suggest in the Force Tower, that you still write RPG and COBOL programs, because these are languages that are very good and they work very well on the iSeries, and you have tons of skills in these languages, so we think it's a very good environment. But write them a little bit differently. So write them as service programs, provide procedures inside these service programs that do some business logic in there, and separate out the user interface, the controller stuff that you do today in these big programs where you say, yeah, I want to show this record format, and this record format. Then you read these things in. You do some checking in there and apply some business logic in there, and it's all mixed up. You want to separate this stuff. Separating this stuff out means that you are in the future more flexible when other technologies come around. Okay, and this will be an evolution, and you can't do that in one day. So it will be over the years. We want you to think about it and develop new applications with a better architecture to separate your user interface, your database logic, and your business logic out there. Okay. The tooling that you would use is still Remote System Explorer. We have some web tools that you can use to provide a web user interface to a service program, for example. That would be the iSeries web tools in there. Then the next tower is if you need to move on and move outside of the iSeries environment, then you need something that gives you the portability to do that. And that's certainly the Java language has that capability, because it runs in the Java virtual machine, and that virtual machine is pretty much on every platform that's out there. So if you then move on and need the better portability, only then we suggest that you might want to look into Java, which gives you the portability that you might need to move to run your applications on different platforms as well. And really, if you need scalability, if you need to run your applications in a highly distributed environment, then Enterprise Java Beans might be the correct choice, and that's the last tower there. If you really have that need, then we certainly suggest that you look at Enterprise Java Beans and what they can do for you to provide a highly distributed, scalable application out there. Okay. So, moving on to the next page, and we'll talk about tools and where web facing fits. That's the Web City Development Studio for iSeries page, and it's Web City Development Studio is the product that you buy when you buy your RPG COBOL compilers. When you buy Web City Development Studio, you get all four compilers and PDM So the PDM SCU5250 tools that run on the host, the RPG compiler, the COBOL compiler, the C and the C++ compilers. You get all that in WDS when you buy the application development tools for iSeries, and these things run on the iSeries host. But you also get a package of tools that's called WebC Development Studio Client, and you get an unlimited license for this package. And what we've done, IBM has packaged the WebC Studio Site Developer, which is a product that we sell, and we've added some iSeries interfaces, some iSeries-specific tools into this package, and that's what we give you when you buy the RPG and COBOL program compiler for the iSeries and the 5250 tools. And one of those tools that we give you in this package is the web-facing tools. So when you go to IBM and say, I want to buy the web-facing tool, most likely they will stare with blank eyes at you and say, we don't sell that. So most likely, actually, you already have the web-facing tool in your shop. If you are on V5.1, V5.2, or V5.3, you have an RPG compiler on your system or COBOL compiler, then you already got the CDs for WebC Development Studio Client. You just have to install those CDs on your PC, and then you have the web-facing tools readily available, and you can use this. Also in there, the Remote System Explorer, which replaces PDM and SAU, and I certainly urge you to also look into that and use that, okay? There's also what we call two classic tools in there that are not based on Eclipse. That's Code 400 and Visual HRPG. Code is the older version of the Remote System Explorer. It also allows you to work with COBOL and RPG programs on a workstation. Visual HRPG gives you a graphical user interface environment that you can write in RPG, so not a web user interface, a desktop user interface. Okay, moving on to the next foil. The advanced version of WebC Development Studio here. If you need certain features in the web-facing tool, for example, then you might want to look into the advanced version. You can buy that, WebC Development Studio Client for iSeries Advanced. That's based on the WebC Studio Application Developer Package that we sell, and we add some capabilities in the web-facing environment in here, like system screen support, single sign-on, portal support. These kinds of capabilities you get in the advanced version. Okay. There's also, if you want to move into enterprise Java Bean development, there are tools in there as well for that. Okay, going to the next foil. On the architecture of the web application, this is how normally a typical web application is looks like. Okay. And what our goal here is in web facing is moving your 5250 based application into this kind of environment. So in a web application, we have our enterprise server out there for us. That's the iSeries that has the database and all that, the business logic on there. Then we have an application server, which could be the WebC application server or any other application server that's around in the industry. We have an HTTP server out there, and then your end users sit on a web browser, talk to the HTTP server, which then routes the request to an application server if the request is for an application that's installed in the application server. Normally, the application server runs Java programs that are called servlets, and these servlets then decide, or these Java programs decide what to do with that request. If it is a request for a transaction, they would normally go to the enterprise server and get some more information about the request, get some data out there, run some business logic, then come back with the result of this for this request. they would put that into the Java bean, the data that comes out of that, and then transfer the Java beans into Java server pages, and Java server pages contain the interface, the user interface definition for the page that you want to show. So that allows you to have a dynamic user interface and a web environment. So Java server pages in this environment give you the capability of having dynamic user interfaces in a web environment, because normally HTML is pretty static, and you only serve static data to the browser. The Java server pages give you a good framework to now have at runtime add data to the user interface and then display that to the end user. Okay, so our goal in the web-facing environment is to move your user interface definition from a DDS base that you have today that describes the 5250 into a definition that's Java server pages based, and then we will try to get the data that comes out of your CL or PG or COBOL programs into the application server environment and into the Java server pages, and then display that in a browser instead of having a 5250 serving the user interface. Okay, next page. When we started with web facing, which was I think around 5 years ago or 6 years ago, we had some goals for this tool, and we certainly wanted to enable people to run the applications quickly with a new user interface. So there would be no programming or very little programming changes needed in the logic, because we know people hesitate to touch that RPG or COBOL logic out there because it's sometimes they don't know what's in there, and if you touch something else might break and so on. So the goal was here to just grab the user interface, convert that to something, and then have the same program run that new user interface at the same time. Still can run the user interface also in the 5250 environment still. We wanted then to give you the capability of doing some more steps, because if we just grab the 5250 and convert that into a web user interface, that would just give you a web user interface that looks very much like a 5250. So you are normally interested in then refining the conversion that we've done and adding some web stuff to that user interface. And that was also a goal that we had, to allow you to do that, but without having to know too much of the web environment, use your existing DDS skills to go in and do these changes and make this user interface really look very nicely. We talked to lots of customers and ISVs as well, and one of the things they told us that it has to be cost-effective. It can't cost too much, because if you're an ISV, for example, and sell software, and then you would have to add the cost of this tool to the cost of the package, and then you're not competitive anymore. So what we've done here is the tool itself, as I mentioned in the two charts before, comes with the compiler. So you don't have to buy the tool, actually. It comes as part of the set. As we repackaged our tools in V5.01, we took care of that, and we give you the workstation-based tools was the compilers, was the iSeries environment as well, and you have an unlimited license, so you don't have to buy the tools at all. The runtime is part of the operating system. We need something in the runtime after you've converted your application. We need something that would tell the workstation manager that it doesn't have to create a 5250 data stream anymore. it can talk directly to the application server. And to do that, we had to change a little bit in the operating system. So that is part of the operating system. In V5.0.1 and V5.0.2, you have to PTF that in. In V5.0.3, it's part of the operating system. You get that with OS 400, so there is no cost really out there. You will need an application server to run a web-based application, because as I showed you on the previous foil, part of the e-business web application environment is an application server. That the application server Express, and that's the version that we need for a web-based application, is included in i5OS and in V5.3, so there wouldn't be extra cost for that as well. Okay, moving on to the next foil. On the next foil, the IBM web-facing tool, I'll have a sample of what you can do with web-facing. This actually is an interesting example because it's from one of our first beta customers, web-facing beta customers, Application Consultants in Philadelphia. And they have this 5250 application that you see on the left side, that screen there. And they were facing problems with selling, this is an apparel application that they sell, selling this application, because when they went in and demoed this application in a 5250 environment, they would not come near to make a bid because the user interface was just considered outdated. So they couldn't sell the application anymore. And they came to us and said, "Here, IBM, can you help us?" And we were working at that time in the early stages of the web-facing project, and they agreed to be our first beta customer. And a year and a half later, the application looked like the right screen on them, and it runs in a browser. They did some customization in there, but what you can see is that your push buttons end up as your command keys end up as push buttons on the left side of the browser environment. So that's where you have the enter key, the help, the exit, the cancel, and the delete step. That was originally all implemented via command keys. And they still work as command keys, but you have the extra choice of these push buttons as well. And then you can see the entry fields and the text in there. They changed some of the colors. These are not the default colors in web facing. And since web facing uses cascading style sheets, that's very easy to do. And then they added also some features. For example, in the 5250, you don't have the capability of showing a graphic. Here they can now show graphics in here. So they did some refinement of the user interface, and that's what you mainly do. The conversion of your 5250 user interface is pretty straightforward and is pretty fast. Where you will spend some time is then refining that user interface, put some extra rules in there that now tell the web-facing tool in the next conversion, add this picture in there, add a link in there, and all that to make this a real web user interface. Okay, going to the next slide. That's the web-facing architecture overview. And here we can see on the left is our program that runs on an iSeries. And this program has user interface logic, it has business logic, and has database logic. They are unfortunately not as nicely separated as we show in these three boxes in here. But eventually what happens is that at development time, you take the DDS display file source, which is in the middle, and which is this the green box that says web-facing conversion done during development. So at development time, you take the DDS, you identify your DDS source that belongs to the application, and you tell us, convert this. And we will convert this to Java server pages. That's the user interface description. And and some Java Beans XML that describes the data buffers of the programs. Because what happens is when you normally, in the traditional 5250 environment, talk to a record format, the program will actually give the data that it wants to display in the 5250 to the workstation manager as in a data buffer. That's the input-output buffers that you have in RPG. And the workstation manager will then include that data and the user interface description out of your DDS step and send that to the 5250. So what we do here is now after we've converted the DDS source into Java server pages and into buffer descriptions, we can now tell your program, okay, if you get invoked from a browser, then the workstation manager actually will not generate a 5250 data stream. So the program gives the data to the workstation manager, which is in the middle in there, and the workstation manager will then talk to our web-facing server, and that will talk to the web-facing runtime in the application server, which then will invoke the Java server pages from there and provide the user interface in a browser. So in our web-facing environment, we now deal with an environment where the workstation manager knows about the invocation from the browser and now routes the data from the program to our web-facing runtime environment through the application server to the browser, and also when it gets back a request from the browser, it will then hand over the data to the program from the browser environment. So your program doesn't actually know that it talks to a browser environment. It's just deals as it deals with the 5250. It still deals with workstation manager. In between, workstation manager has a switch that allows it to say, okay, this is a web-based application, or this is a 5250 application, and does the right thing, sends the data stream to the 5250, or invokes the web-facing server, and then this one will talk to the application server to invoke the right user interface. Okay. Going to the next foil. So what's the web-facing tool? And I already mentioned that we have two really components in that, the development time and the runtime environment. At development, you identify the source that makes up your user interface. You also identify how to invoke your program. And at runtime, we have this intercept in the workstation manager, which allows us to go to a web-facing server and talk to the application server directly in there. So two components, and the component you are really involved in is the first one, the development time conversion, because you know your DDS. You know which DDS source is involved when a program displays the user interface, and you have to identify those. And that's what we will look at next. So what you will do is you will go into our tool set, and that's the web-facing tool. And in there, the Eclipse Workbench comes up, the WebSys Studio Workbench comes up, and you can then work with the web-facing tool inside that workbench. What you do is you create a new web-facing project very easily. Your wizard will guide you through that, and we'll go through the screens in a minute. Then you will say, I have these source members. I know how to invoke my application. I will specify that. And we'll create the web step, so the Java server pages and some of that, and some XML to describe the buffers. And then you say in the tool, in the workbench, run this on the server. So you actually point to your web-facing project and say run on server. Because in the workbench, there's a built-in application server that you can use and that will automatically pick up your stuff and just run it and then invoke your program and you can see the results right away. But as I said before, that's a very fast step to convert. Then you go in and refine. And what you do is you actually work with web settings. You go into your DDS source, and we'll have tools to, for you to do that, and insert command lines. And these command lines will tell our web-facing conversion that it should do things differently. Maybe you want to add a graphic. Maybe you want to add a link, and you define that. We put command lines in your DDS, and then we will, during reconversion, we will then grab these new rules that you gave us and do a different conversion for you in these points there. That has the benefit that when you change now your user interface, your 5250 is changing constantly, you can work with that, and we, since the new rules that you've added are part of the DDS, we will always apply these rules again and again. So you do this refine state a couple of times. You go through it, you test it, you see how it looks and so on, and eventually you say, yeah, that's the user interface I want, so now I want to move this to production. And then what you do is you work with an enterprise archive file, an EF file in here, and you actually export this to your real application server that runs on an iSeries or on some other server, and tell the application server, here is my web-faced project. Now install this in your environment, and then your end users can invoke this, can send a request for that, and they will see the end result. Okay. So going to the next foil, which is the Start WDSC Workbench. And here, you click on an icon on your desktop, the workbench comes up, and it comes up as with the default perspective of the Remote System Explorer. Okay? So you then say, on the next one, create a new web-facing project, and you just go to the project environment and say, I want to create a new project and make this a web-facing project. So you select that, and then on the next foil, I'm not now on the one where we specify the web-facing project environment. So you give it a name, and you also specify whether you want to use a default EF file, an enterprise archive file that you later on can use to export that to your real application server, and the levels that you want to work with in the struts and J2EE environment. Okay, that's. And going to the next foil here, this one, you just specify which J2EE level you want to work with, and that's only important for you. If you still have application servers that run in version 3, 5, or 4. If you are on WASM, an application server 5 level, just specify J2EE level 1.3. That's the default, and everything is done. The next page, excuse me, is the interesting page where you specify the members in your DDS. And that's here you tell us, these are the members I need to convert. This is the step that belongs to my application. And you can do this on the next page. We show you that you can do that for your UIM help panels as well, only for the help panels, not for your regular UIM panels. That would be the next page. And again, you just specify the members that you want to convert. That's all. And on your iSeries. The next slide shows what you have to do to identify how to invoke the application. So you tell us the command and the parameters to invoke your program. You can give us a little label because we will create a web page from this information that will actually send the request over to your iSeries. and you can tell us how you want to handle authentication, whether you want to prompt for sign-on, or whether you want to specify certain values directly in here that we will then use to get you going. On the next page, this is now the Choose a Web Style page. We give you a couple of styles on the web environment, and you can choose the colors and so on that you like best. And go on, and the next one. And here you can say, oops, wait a sec here. You just specify that you want to finish this project, and that's it. And you can specify whether you want to start the conversion right away or only create the web project only and then start the conversion later. Here we specify, no, I want to create the project only, and then we'll do the conversion later. This will take a minute on your workstation, and then you can go and see your new web-facing project in there in the navigation view on the left side. That's now on the next page here where it says right-click and select convert to do conversion. That's the page I'm on. And on here, you just select your project, right-click on it, and say convert it. And then we'll actually go in, grab the DDS, and convert it and store the result, the Java server pages, on your workstation. Going to the next page. And you will get a conversion log. If there is something that didn't work, then you just check that out and see what doesn't work. Normally, you don't run into problems with the web-facing conversion, but we don't convert all keywords in DDS, so there might be a problem. Okay. And going from the conversion log page to the next page, that shows you that you can now access the Java server pages that we've created during conversion. You can see that in the tree view on the left side. You can double-click on these and then work with editors with these things. And they are normal Java server pages with HTML and Java in there, and you could deal with those directly in our editors, in our HTML editors. Okay. In the next page, one sec here, that's you're now running the server, the application, and what you do is, again, you specify the web-facing project, and then you right-click and say run on server, and that actually runs in the application server that's installed on your workstation, and this thing just starts. And it will come up with a browser page and index.html that we create. The web-facing tool actually creates this page. And when you now click on the link on the next page there, on the link that gives you, we actually provide you two links in here. One is to invoke a regular browser page, and the other one is to invoke a browser page that only has a frame, that doesn't have any back button and that kind of stuff. So if you click on one of these two links that we provide you in this index.html page, then we'll start the application, and that's the next page here. If you had specified that you wanted a sign-on prompt, you would get the sign-on prompt, but you can also specify your own version of a sign-on prompt if you don't like our design. That's the next page there. And on the next page, then we show you a customized sign-on screen, actually, from a customer in Germany. And then your application comes up. That's on the next screen, where it says F keys become buttons or links depending on style chosen. And if you have a window in your DDS with a Windows keyword, that would show up as a window in there. So that's a sample of a straight conversion. Now you see a subfile with some input fields on the left side of the records in the subfile. Okay. And moving on to the next page, just deploying to remote WebSphere server, and I already talked about that. You just export the Enterprise Archive file, the EAR file, to on application server, and then in the application server you tell it, I want to install this application from this Enterprise Archive file, and then you have the application installed there, and then it's available for everybody in your shop there. Okay, and the next foil, customizing, and we'll go through that. So the next one, you can customize by changing web-facing properties, and you can customize by changing the style sheet, or I already talked about the web settings, and that's most likely the thing you want to do, putting DDS comments into your DDS source. And what we do is we use a designer tool that shows you your 5250 screen, and then you on the 5250 screen you say, okay, for this I want to do something else, for this I want to do something else, and we then add these DDS comments, and that's pretty straightforward. You could also go and edit the Java server pages directly with the editors that we provide in the tooling, but be aware that when you reconvert, we will overwrite those changes. So that's not a suggested way to do it unless you know what you do. Okay. On the next page, I have just a sample of the customized by properties, and since I'm running out of time here, I'll skip that, and we'll go to the customizing by style sheet settings. And what we do is in our style sheets that we provide for you, there are a couple of cascading style sheet classes that we use. For example, there's a DDS field class, there's color classes for display attributes and so on. There's a window class, subfile class. You can actually go in and change these classes. If you don't like the color that we apply, if you don't like the font that we use, you can just go in and change these things on your own. You can also add your own cascading style sheet classes, and then via web settings tell us to use those. Okay, so that was the foil customizing by style sheet settings. And the next one is, it's just a sample of how you would deal with style sheets. I'll skip that. And go customizing the web settings. And here, what you do is you click on the member that you want to work with, the DDS source member inside the web-facing tool. Say, I want to work with this with Code Designer. Okay, and on the next page, we have an example here. That would be a screen that shows up in the Code Designer tool, and you would select the field that you want to work with. For example, here, what we want to do in the subfile, we want to make this customer name field a link, and we can now select that customer name field in that subfile, and then work with the web settings on the bottom of the screen there and say, I want to add this as a link, and I want to get rid of the left columns on the left side there. And you can do that and then make this a better web user interface. And if you really want to go in, this is a sample of the web editor that we have, the web page editor, and you could go into your Java server pages directly and change it there. Okay, and the next one is then going through some examples here, and this is a very short. Going to the next one, this is Guess, a company in Germany, green screen and the customized version. So they had a green screen with a self-defined window that shows up, the calendar shows up as a window in the DDS there, and we show you here what we would convert that to. That looks a lot better than the green screen. And the next one is from Application Consultants and here in Toronto, a sample order entry screen, the 5250 version. and then the web page. And actually, that's from Application Consultants in Philadelphia. And again, you can see they added in the web page, they added little graphics in the subfile. You can explode these graphics and get more details on these. Okay. And talking about the advanced features here, in the advanced version, if you need to add some capabilities to the current application that you have, you want to add something and want to branch out to something else, you can add command keys to that application, and these command keys could invoke something else, some other web application. That's support we allow in the advanced version. If you have system screens, for example, work spool file, they are not web-faced, and they would cause you problems in your RPG or COBOL application. That we can fix that, and you can display system screens as well. That support is in the advanced version. If you want single sign-on for your users all over your web environment, that's implemented via EIM. And if you wanted portal support, we can generate web-faced applications that run on the portal server, and that's also available in the advanced version. Okay. And to the next page here. Any more resources, Red Books are out there. They are very good. Actually, I'm the lead author of a book that's out there, Understanding the IBM Web-Facing Tool. You might want to look at that. It goes through a sample of how to web-face a sample application and gives you some hints and tips and how to enhance then the user interface. Okay. And in summary, our summary page, lousy web-facing, lousy quick conversion. It allows you pretty good unlimited refinement, and it's very cost-effective. And one of the things is that in the new servers, you don't run a web-based application as in the interactive environment. It's considered batch, so which also eliminates the need for the interactive feature there. And that's all I wanted to tell you about web-facing. Okay. We can open this up for questions now.
Thank you. Before taking your questions today, we'd like to conduct a brief electronic survey. To participate in today's survey, please press the star key followed by the number on your telephone that corresponds to your choice. On a scale of 1 to 4, how valuable did you find Klaus's chat? For very valuable, press star 1. For valuable, press star 2. For somewhat valuable, press star 3. Or for of no value, press star 4. And that does conclude today's survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now we'll move on to taking your questions. If you do have a question at this time, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Once again, just press star 1 if you do have a question. Once again, just press star 1 if you do have any questions at this time. And Mr. Weiss, it appears we have no questions at this time. I'll turn it back to you for any closing comments.
Okay. Thanks very much for listening, and I hope you give it a try. Try it out. Try the tools. You've got the tools already, and it's certainly a way to go. Start with using the new tools. Start with using the Remote System Explorer. Get used to the Eclipse environment. Start changing the user interface, because the 50-50 user interface is certainly something you want to move off and have something better, and web-facing allows you to do that pretty easily. So hopefully you've got an idea what's involved in web-facing, and thanks for listening. Bye.
Thank you. That does conclude today's conference. Thank you, everyone, for joining.